You may be seated. Our last case this morning is 14-1388, Akron Bar Association versus Larry Dean Shanice, the respondent, Mr. Shanice.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice. May it please the court, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
I'd like to open by saying, in contravention to...
Could you speak into the microphone? I can't hear you.
Pardon me? Okay.
Touche.
I understand now. Thank you. In contravention to what's been alleged, this is not my attempt to escape discipline, and this is not my attempt to escape responsibility for my actions.
What discipline do you think would be the appropriate discipline? What are you arguing?
Well, initially, based on what the case law I had referred to and previous, based on the comment issue, I thought a public reprimand. But I don't feel that way as I stand here today. I still feel a state suspension is appropriate, but I feel, in essence, for lack of better words, hanging a 2-year suspension, whether it be state or not, over me for what the board even says was an isolated incident. They were impressed with how I handled myself in those hearings, how I've handled myself in a class action, which is before this court, actually. It's not me. It was an isolated incident. As this court has always said, discipline's not about punishment. It's about protecting
the
public.
Okay, and when you say it's an isolated incident, what specifically?
This matter, this specific matter involving the Littles.
Yes, okay, and what is it you feel you did wrong?
Well, the main issue I did wrong was the discovery, okay? Post-judgment, I handled discovery terrible. There's no issue there. I let it snowball on me. I thought I was acting in the best interest of my clients. I thought we were going to be able to do the bankruptcy thing. I made bad judgments.
Well, is that malpractice or is that discipline?
Pardon me?
Is that malpractice or is that discipline?
Well, obviously, I'm here being disciplined for it.
I know, but I'm asking the question.
I didn't.
This case didn't
cost my clients any money.
All right.
So
wasn't there a judgment of $114,000 against them?
Yes, but that had nothing to do. If you read the board's findings, that was going to happen anyway. I don't care who the attorney was. All right? It was because they broke a lease. They had... a judgment was going to happen. I didn't cause the judgment.
Well,
so that
you didn't have malpractice insurance, right?
No, I did not.
Do you have it now?
Yes.
And aren't you really here because a judge got mad about something that was in the Akron Beacon Journal?
If you would let me, yes. I didn't want to say that, but that's
what
well, started.
I'll say it. I just said it.
Yes.
All right, and the Beacon Journal reporter never agreed to testify. Is that correct?
That's correct. There was
so we're still somewhat in the dark as to what happened there.
That's correct. There was significant motion practice before this court, and Mr. Trexler never did testify as to quote. What was paraphrased?
All right.
An article. But anyway, to expound on that, this is not a client complaint. There was no complaint made by the client. Judge Gallagher was upset about comments that I made in the Akron Beacon Journal after my former 81-year-old client was arrested based on a capious Judge Gallagher issued. Okay. The capious was issued, and Relator doesn't see this as a significant fact. I see this as a very significant fact. And apparently this is one of the issues where they say I'm trying to escape responsibility. All I'm saying is I feel this is very significant in this whole matter. This capias would have never been issued had this hearing never been held. There was a bankruptcy stay in place. The judge was aware there was a bankruptcy stay in place. He decided to contravene federal law, hold this hearing. It's been substantiated that we didn't receive notice of that initial hearing. Not by me, but by another attorney, because I was out of town, who was receiving my mail. So it's not me standing before this court saying, Your Honors, I didn't receive that mail, so which would be questionable.
So you have corroborating evidence that the notice of that hearing never got to you, correct?
That's correct.
And you presented that?
By Attorney Reed.
Okay. And so, nonetheless, your client was incarcerated. Well, was picked up, the elderly client.
That's correct.
All right, and how long did he stay in jail?
I think he was in a holding cell for like 6 hours.
Okay, and that precipitated some comments to the newspaper about never having received the notice from
That's
the
correct.
Court.
That's correct.
Okay, and then that precipitated a grievance, and I'm presuming the grievant is Judge Gallagher with the bar, or did the bar do this sua sponte?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand. Judge Gallagher made the initial complaint to the bar, yes.
Okay, that's what I asked. Okay. All right. And that's why we're here today.
Right. Then the bar had to solicit the Littles for other information, and that's what brought about as far as
that's a neglect of a client charge, neglect of a client's interest.
That's correct.
All right.
Okay. So I see that as back to what I was indicating. I see that as significant because if there's not a hearing, there's not a warrant, there's not an arrest, there's not an incarceration, and there's no newspaper article, and we're not here.
So you're saying the judge precipitated his own problem?
I don't want to put it that way, okay? But I'm saying that hearing should have never been held.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that what you're saying, and I guess it's been shown that you didn't get the notice. So there was no, you did not ignore a summons to appear, or not a summons, but notice to appear.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Shanice, is this a 362 stay in bankruptcy? Is that what you're saying? This should have been a 362 stay?
Absolutely, yes.
Was there an order in this case saying that the case was stayed in state court?
No. And the explanation on that is I'd already withdrawn, because I hadn't, because that's an issue. That I'm being held responsible for, that I did not withdraw as Mr. Senior, Mr. Little's counsel. I was no longer his counsel. There's no issue there. He had taken on Mr. John Guy, who's now deceased, I'm sorry to say, but as his counsel. He filed the bankruptcy. He filed notice with all counsel. So plaintiff's counsel knew, that's how judge became informed of it the day of the hearing. Plaintiff's counsel knew, but he did not file an actual notice of stay with the court, okay? But the court was fully aware the day of the hearing, he testified to at my disciplinary hearing that he just decided to go forward.
Had you had you filed an order saying you withdrew from the case?
No, I did not.
So at least the trial court had your name as counsel of record, is that right?
That is correct.
And the bankruptcy was not noticed to the Common Pleas Court?
It wasn't noticed in writing, but the judge, like I say, testified that he was fully aware before he went forward with the hearing. He was made aware of it.
So, counsel, you were attorney of record, though. You were attorney of record on this case.
I was attorney of record.
And when you say, I withdrew, you didn't let the court know. You didn't file a notice of withdrawal.
Oh, I'm not saying I withdrew. I'm saying he had retained new counsel. I didn't say I withdrew. He had retained new counsel.
For the bankruptcy?
Yes.
Okay, but we're not talking about the bankruptcy. We're talking about this case.
No, Your Honor, I did not file a notice of withdrawal.
Okay, so to the whole world, you're still this man's attorney.
To the Common Pleas Court, that is correct.
Okay. All right, so there is no fault for the judge holding you as, or recognizing you as the attorney here.
And I'm not, I was never, I don't think I ever brought that issue up as far as that part of it goes.
Well, you just was making some kind of point about having been withdrawn and Mr. Guy being the, you know, bankruptcy attorney. That's apples and oranges right now.
Oh, no, that was just to bring out the point of, I was just trying to make the notice of how the judge got notice of the hearing itself. That's all I was going to
point. You mean notice of the bankruptcy?
As far as with the Common Pleas Court?
Yes.
No. Written notice? No.
Gotcha.
That was not made till he made it in, I believe it was May of, after all this took place.
Counsel, okay. I have a question for you today. You're representing yourself here today, and
yes,
you understand who your client is. I've read your brief. What do you want here today? I noticed you got hit with $9,500 in costs, a two-year suspension, all stayed. Are you arguing to this court that you should walk out of here at zero?
Absolutely not.
What are you arguing?
I just think the stage suspension should be reduced.
To what?
I don't think it should be 2 years.
So you agreed there should be a suspension, it should be stayed, and you should pay the costs, and we're now here to talk about somewhere between zero and 24 months?
I believe a stage suspension, based on the fact that I didn't have malpractice insurance at the time, and the fact that there's other things to do with discovery, is appropriate. I just do not feel that a two-year stage suspension is appropriate. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to escape discipline. I'm not trying to escape a stage suspension. I'm just...
Well, do you think that 6 months, a year, 18 months? Those are the multiples that we usually use, so, you know.
I understand. I would say a six-month stage suspension is appropriate.
And you know, counsel, I spent some time in private practice, and you're in private practice. Are you making a distinction between a public reprimand and a stage suspension, that one is more severe than the other?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Well, you say you don't want, that's okay, I'll talk slowly. Are you suggesting that a public reprimand is more or less severe than a stayed suspension?
Is less severe?
I'm asking you.
I would say yes.
Okay.
I think one of the issues with the suspension is it's preventing me from doing a lot of things. Okay, it's preventing me from taking the bar in Florida, okay, for 2 years.
If it stayed, you're still prevented because you have a disciplinary action over you that has not been concluded.
That's correct.
All right, so okay, now you want to take the bar in Florida. That's the real issue here, is
that
not? No,
that's not the real issue. That just recently came up, okay? That's not the real issue, Your Honor. I'm just saying that's one of the things. I know I'm going to be hit with over $9,000 in fines, even if I just got the public reprimand.
I got you. So let's talk about what else. You said it's preventing you from doing a lot of things. What's it preventing you
from
doing?
Okay, well, I don't know. They said probation, okay? Does this probation, it doesn't really say in the thing, is this monitored? Do I have a watchdog? They say this is an isolated incident, that my practice for the last 17 years has been good other than this, I mean...
What kind of law do you practice?
I'm a general practitioner. I'm a
solo
practitioner.
General practitioner. Okay. All right. So are you quibbling over the length as well as the conditions that might be attached to this when they say monitoring?
Well,
or probation?
Actually, the conditions, I can't tell what the conditions are other than it says probation. I believe this court's initial show cause mentioned the monitoring, although the board's recommendation wasn't for monitoring. Okay. So I think that's probably where I brought that issue up. So all I can say again is I'm not trying to escape the discipline. I'm not trying to walk out of jail free. I just think, based on the case law I presented, the fact that I didn't attack Judge Gallagher directly. I mean, this wasn't meant to degrade Judge Gallagher. I don't know what else to say as far in that regard.
Okay.
I see my time's up.
All right. Let's listen to Mr. Gippin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Mr. Shinais. We really are here just talking about the length of the penalty, as Mr. Shinais now states. You honors have had the benefit of our briefing. Plainly, the panel did not find that we had proved all the matters that we raised. We had the burden of proof by clear and convincing evidence. We accept that. When there's a question of was there notice actually received, the evidence was disputed. It was never disputed the notice was sent. It was never disputed that the Judge Gallagher's judicial assistant placed a phone call, left a voicemail message. Mr. Shinais testified that he never received any of that, and the panel simply found that we had not met our burden of proof.
Well, what on earth was the judge holding this hearing for anyway when he knew the bankruptcy was underway?
Your Honor, I will respond, although obviously I cannot speak for Judge Gallagher, nor is his conduct on trial here. But we did cite the case law to this court. In our brief, I think it's the Dominick's case, fairly recent case from the Sixth Circuit, which in fact upholds what has long been the rule of bankruptcy law. And whether Mr. Mendenhall knew this or not, I certainly knew it as a practitioner and as a judge as well for a time, that a state court always has the authority has the power to vindicate its own authority, notwithstanding the stay. And the Sixth Circuit very eloquently said that the mere filing of a bankruptcy does not take away from the power of a state court judge to ensure that court's orders, particularly where they are sanction orders, contempt orders, are obeyed. So in fact, Judge Gallagher, the record's clear on this now, Judge Gallagher did know about the bankruptcy because opposing counsel was aware of the bankruptcy, Rundown Ghost Towns counsel. And it was raised. Mr. Shinais obviously wasn't there. But in my view, I think that Judge Gallagher correctly found that he had the power to continue to gain enforcement of his orders, notwithstanding the stay.
If there had been an actual notice of bankruptcy and a stay and an order of stay under 362, would it still have been the same?
Yes, Your Honor. There's no the fact that the stay is an automatic stay. It operates upon the filing. It does not require the entry of an order by the bankruptcy court. There's never such an order. The stay is automatic, and in this case, the state court judge had notice of it. It's just that he applied the law, I think, correctly.
So you're saying under 362, the common pleas court can act?
Absolutely.
What order was he attempting to act upon?
He had, Your Honor, he had issued the show cause to which there was no opposition, put it that way.
He issued a show cause notice because there was no appearance by the client or his attorney for what kind of hearing originally?
Your Honor, originally it was on failure to respond to a motion to compel. When that
motion to compel discovery.
Discovery, response to discovery. When that order requiring discovery was disobeyed, opposing counsel filed a show cause motion. That was the occasion of the
And there's no denying that Mr. Sinise Shanice, received the show cause motion. He didn't receive the notice of a hearing on the show cause motion.
That was never an issue. I don't think it's ever been contended by Mr. Shanice. He didn't receive opposing counsel's motion, no.
No. He received the motion. He just didn't receive the notice for a hearing.
So he said.
Okay. You're saying that even though there was a bankruptcy proceeding, that a judge, Gallagher, could bring the parties together and force discovery to continue while the bankruptcy was pending?
Your Honor, he had the power to have cause shown why there should not be contempt for disobedience of his prior order.
Okay, but not to enforce a motion to compel discovery. Would you agree with that?
No, Your Honor. That is not the case law.
So he could discovery would have continued in this case.
It could conceivably have continued. We never got there.
What would be the point of such?
Beg pardon, Your Honor?
What would be the point of proceeding?
Your Honor, again, I'm not here representing Judge Gallagher. All I'm saying is that I think that under the established case law, I think the Sixth Circuit decision followed these events, but it only stated existing law, that a state court judge does not lose the power to vindicate that court's authority. Where that goes beyond that is a matter of a specific case. But here, let me say, Your Honor, if you were to believe that on the nuance of did this action by Judge Gallagher fall within his power or not under 362 law, I think at a minimum you can say that there is a fair argument in favor of his decision and the way he acted. It's hardly that we have a state court judge who is just without the breath of authority, violating the stay. That's not at all what was going on here, as the case law makes clear.
Could you give us that site again, the Sixth Circuit site?
Yes, Your Honor. Dominic's Restaurant of Dayton, Inc., V. Mantia, M-A-N-T-I-A. It's in our brief. 683 F. 3rd, 757 at 761. It's a 2012 decision.
Counsel, can we talk about the sanction that's on the table?
Yes, Your Honor.
We have the 2-year suspension all stayed. Are there conditions in your view?
No, Your Honor.
So it's just to avoid further misconduct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then in addition, we have the $9,500 in costs?
Yes, I believe so.
What seems unusual to me is sometimes there's maybe a reduction in costs if the association doesn't then, if the relator doesn't then prove all of the violations. And here we have a significant number of the violations that the board said we don't think these are proven. So should we still be awarding the entire amount of the costs?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that even though there are certain elements which the board found we had not proved, nevertheless, the vast portion of this case, including very significant violations, incompetence. And these are admitted by Mr. Shanice, knowing violation of the rules of a tribunal. In other words, intentionally not providing discovery and disobeying the orders, and degradation of a judge. I mean, whether that is something that, Mr. Shanice and I think possibly members of this court think should have been proven. Nevertheless, it was proven. Those are very substantial.
My understanding is he said, "I never got the notice." Is that what the statement in the newspaper was?
I've got the statement in front of me. It's, hey, you're supposed to be here for a hearing. We're going to issue warrants for your client if you don't appear. Is that the statement? But the board found that wasn't proven, right?
I beg your pardon, Your Honor?
It wasn't proven, but it wasn't proven that that was prejudicial to the administration of justice, correct?
Your Honor,
he just expressing what he believed to be a true statement at that time?
That is what the panel found.
So aren't we bound by that at this point?
That he believed it to be true? Yes.
No, what the board found?
Yes. We've not contested the board's findings. Nevertheless, the board found correctly, I think, that the way this was expressed, setting aside whether we managed to prove what we tried to prove, but that without any dispute, the words that were chosen to that newspaper reporter, fully aware that this is going to be a prominent story, as it was. It was a front page story. It had been on the radio, too, comes to that. Knowing that, to use the sort of language that was used to the reporter, knowing that it would be quoted, was degrading to the tribunal. And I think, you know, both sides have pointed you to the Grimes case, which is probably the closest analogy to this case. Not Gardner, because we didn't prove that he intentionally lied, but where you speaking to a reporter, never got in the paper in Johnson, and you curse a judge, and then separately in open court, then call the proceedings silly game and a charade. That is degrading of a tribunal. And I, Your Honors, you ought not open that door. We all disagree with decisions of various courts. And how we express ourselves about that, I think, is properly subject to the rule, and that we are not free as lawyers, simply to speak out as about judges.
Counsel, I think I agree with everything you're saying, but unfortunately, I think I also agree with what the respondent was saying to the reporter when he said, I would have thought the court would have had the courtesy to say, hey, you're supposed to be here. Now, I understand I'm from Ashtabula County and Geauga County. We're a little smaller than Summit County. But isn't this a very, very active lawyer in the court system in Summit?
Is he? Not as active as some, but yes. I mean, there was a long period of time when he really wasn't in.
I guess what I'm getting to is the frustration of a lawyer saying, my gosh, I get no phone calls, I get no letters, and they issue a warrant for my client. Doesn't seem fair.
Your Honor, the quoted statements, if we would have known, we would have been there. But they never bothered to say, hey, you're supposed to be here for a hearing. We're going to issue warrants for your clients if you don't appear. They didn't do anything. I would have thought the court would have had the courtesy to say, hey, you're supposed to be here. No, Your Honor, I don't think that's any way a lawyer should be speaking about a court to a newspaper. Absolutely not. And again, I think you open that door at your risk. Hmm. I think that in this case, the board conservatively ruled as it ruled.
All right, counsel, we're here to, after response by the respondents, acknowledgement and acceptance of discipline, the only thing that he's quibbling with is the length of the suspension. Apparently, it's interfering with his ability to take the bar in another state. Is it unreasonable to lessen this stay to, say, a year, while stayed with there's a probationary period then recommended post-stay, is that correct?
Your Honor, no, it's a two-year probation, basically.
Well, two-year probation while he's on stay?
Yes.
So this would be a one-year, scrutiny period, so to speak.
Your Honor, this court obviously possesses the discretion to decide.
Right, but I want to hear what you would say if we were bandying about the reduction, cutting this in half.
Your Honor, I think that would be unwarranted. That the panel itself recognized that this combination of violations
violations are he had no malpractice insurance, correct?
No malpractice, degrading a tribunal, acting incompetently, failing to communicate with client, and intentionally disregarding the rules of a tribunal.
Acting incompetently, that's the one that troubles me. What are you referring to there?
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Schieneis admits it, that it was incompetent for him to simply disregard all of the post-judgment activity. As he himself said, He doesn't deny that he got notice of the arrest warrants and he didn't review them because he didn't think he needed to.
Do we discipline for malpractice?
Beg pardon, Your Honor?
Do we discipline for malpractice?
Standing alone? I don't believe there's any authority for that. But typically that's been a in effect an enhancing factor. So the combination of violations that were found and the board never actually separately imposed a sanction that it discussed for degrading the tribunal. That's simply, they only did it for misconduct and failure to communicate. Mr. Schieneis, in his discussion of the sanctions law, disregarded a couple of the violations that were found.
And the tribunal degradation arises from the comment that you read to us about, I thought I should have had no.
Yes, Your Honor.
I thought I should have had no. That's the tribunal degradation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
But the panel itself said that the combination, and even setting aside, didn't discuss degrading a tribunal, that in most situations would have led to some time of actual suspension. The reasons why they did not do that, as they said, were first that they felt that the class action clients would be unduly prejudiced by losing him. I don't know. I mean, any suspended lawyer has clients. And why they decided that the Akron Police and Fire retirees merited that as opposed to others, I don't know. Frankly, we don't agree with that. And that he had comported himself well and handled himself competently in that hearing, suggesting that it was only one instance. I need to say something about that, because the evidence was proffered in the record, which was excluded concerning other matters, and they didn't form anything about the findings. But to say that if you look at the entire record, that this is an isolated instance, it isn't. And I don't think that should go unsaid, because that's been put here.
But so that was excluded?
It was excluded, because there
but
was
you
no...
you come here and talk about it.
Beg your pardon?
But you come here and talk about
because
it.
Because it was suggested that there was this was a single instance. There's never been anything else. He knows better than that. And that's why I raised it, because he raised it. But in our judgment, there should have been an actual suspension in this case, just on what was found. The panel would have done that, but for his demonstrated competence in the representation of that class action set of clients. So, Your Honor, to circle back to your question, we think that it would not be justice to further reduce this sanction. The 2 years fully stayed is at the very minimum of what we think is in the bounds of reason, which is why we did not ourselves contest, obviously, the board's decision. But anything less than that, I'm quite certain we would have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Schieneis, you may take 30 seconds to respond.
Okay. The only thing I'm going to refer to then is I just want to clarify this bankruptcy thing, because I do practice bankruptcy, and I don't want this court to think. I want to refer the court to page 11 of my brief, and this is what it states. And that's a site. It's in Re Benazgakar. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correct or not. It's 283 Bankruptcy 514. The court held that civil contempt proceedings, which is exactly what we were talking about here, initiated by a plaintiff, which is exactly what we were talking about it also, against the defendant, was a private litigant pursuing its individual interest in enforcing a court order to assist in collecting a judgment, not a governmental unit enforcing the governmental unit's police or regulatory power. Accordingly, the police power exception of 362b4 did not apply, and the plaintiff's actions would be subject to the automatic stay. That's exactly what happened in this case. This wasn't a police action or the government enforcement of a judge's order. This was the plaintiff trying to enforce his judgment through a show cause motion. That's why that action was stayed. Thank you.
All right, we will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now adjourned.